every day is a good day to pray, and today is a great day to pray for Ray. Dr. Ray Pritchard, that is, who is a good friend of this program and Moody Radio. He is on a journey he didn't ask for, but nonetheless, he is on a path of pain and struggle and hope, and we're going to join him and walk a few steps together today at the Radio Backyard Fence. And if you are on a similar path, I hope you'll join us. I promise you'll be encouraged on the journey, and you might just find some strength for the next step, the energy to get through whatever valley you're going through today. Let's see what good things might happen in this hour. Let me thank our team behind the scenes. Ryan McConaughey doing all things technical. Tricia is in the chair today. Our producer, Lynn, will be answering your calls. And thanks for your support of this program. If you are a Backfence partner, boy howdy, don't miss the video we sent today. It features an appearance by the audio genius himself, Ryan McConaughey. And we tell the behind-the-scenes story of the disaster in the control room. It almost sounds like a Hardy Boys book. The disaster in the control room, the tension, the conflict. And then the gift of Dolores. This happened the Friday before the eclipse. And this video is our way of kind of letting you see what goes on behind the scenes that you don't get to see, that you don't know about. And you say, how do I become a partner like that, Chris? Well, it's easy. Just give a gift each month of any size. And you'll get that Backfence post, the video, every Thursday, plus a signed copy of The Promise to Jesse Woods. And you can receive the gift that I personally pick out each month for any friend or partner who wants it. And that is this month, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. I'm going to read a little bit from that to our guest today. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. You'll see how you can become a Backfence partner or a friend. Give a one-time gift as well. Just go to Chris Fabry Live, F-A-B-R-Y, chrisfabrylive.org, or call 866-95-FABRY. Thanks for your support at the Backfence. Dr. Ray Pritchard serves as president of Keep Believing Ministries. He's ministered extensively overseas in a lot of different countries, frequent conference speaker, guest on TV and radio and podcasts. For 26 years, he pastored churches in L.A., Dallas, Chicago. Graduate of Tennessee Temple, Dallas Theological Seminary, and Talbot School of Theology. Among his many books, the one we've linked to today, which kind of speaks to what we're going to talk about, is Keep Believing, Finding God in Your Deepest Struggles. He is on, if my math is correct, day 83 of 180 days of cancer treatment. It's also day 7 of 28 days of radiation to treat prostate cancer. Let me just pause a minute for you to process that news if you didn't know it. Ray revealed that the afternoon is often difficult because of fatigue, so I sent him an email and said, hey, would you be up for a conversation? And I mentioned today, and he said, put me down, I'm going to do it. Ray Pritchard, how you doing today?
Chris, I am doing great. Good to be with you again. And as far as the energy goes, you know, I'm going to make it through this hour, then I'm going to lay down and take a nap. I'm taking a lot more naps during the day than I ever have in my whole life. But wow, it's sure good to be with you again.
We have had conversations, you know, after you had your bike accident and all the things you learned through that. And so people are going to think, you know, what has happened to Ray if you're having him on? But this is even, it's a different kind of journey, isn't it?
Well, you know, men especially, we know about prostate cancer. And when you're young, you just don't, you've heard of it. You don't think about it. Honestly, Chris, I knew about prostate cancer, but it was 1,000 miles away from me. And then about 4 years ago, got that PSA test and it came back and they checked me out and did the biopsies and all that. And I've known for about 4 years that I had very early stage. And the doctor was watching it and he said, everything's good. It's fine. It's no problem. Active surveillance, they call it. And then in October, a providential hand of God situation where I had an MRI that I wasn't expecting to have, and they found out what they didn't expect, that there was more cancer down there than they thought, and it was on the move. And the doctor, who's a great guy and a great friend, he just said to me, Ray, you've got choices, but the only choice you don't have is to do nothing. We're going to have to do something now. And so, you know, I like to tell people, I've written these books and I've talked about cancer, And let me just say it to you this way. Every pastor deals with cancer. Everybody in the ministry deals with cancer. It's just, it's all around us. But I'll tell you what, cancer looks a lot different on the other side of the pastor's desk. And when the doctor says, we're going to have to treat you, you do start to look at life a whole lot differently. So Marlene and I have to say, I want to bring her in early. She's been with me, not just the last 4 years, but especially the last few months, has been with me to encourage me. And so you're right. This is day 83 of 180 days. I'm looking up at my marker board, Chris, and I've got it. I change the number every day, day 83 of 180 treatment days and day 7 of 28 days of radiation.
So I'm just going to take a deep breath there. Is there anything that you've written that you think, I knew that then, maybe it's in Keep Believing, Finding God in Your Deepest Struggles. I knew that then, and that was true then, but now I'm on the other side of the desk. Is there anything like that?
I ran across this the other day, and maybe this will summarize my answer. Somebody said, when you ask for a blessing, get ready for a problem, because most of our blessings come from our problems. And we don't want to think of it that way, but it's true that either we believe that God is at work in the worst moments of life, shaping us into the image of Christ and working. You know, you finally, as a preacher, you get yourself some cancer, and you get to decide whether you believe all that stuff you said about Romans 8:28 is really true or not. And I have discovered I do believe it, and it is true. And that's what I want to encourage, you know, all of our listeners. This really isn't about me. Everybody, you got cancer, you know somebody with cancer, you know somebody that's struggling. It's a great thing in the time of trouble to realize that God is working in this for our good and for His glory. And so I have prayed for God to bless me, and now I'm in cancer treatment. And Chris, I don't think those two things are unconnected.
That's Dr. Ray Pritchard. I got some really good questions. Maybe you have those questions. You've heard Ray on this program and others through the years, and you want to reach out to him, or maybe you're going through a similar journey right now, and you want to share some encouragement to Ray himself, 877-548-3675. His book, Keep Believing, Finding God in Your Deepest Struggles, is our featured resource at the website chrisfabrylive.org. It's Pray for Ray Day on Chris Fabry Live. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. Rock on the Trail, the Cancer Trail, with Dr. Ray Pritchard today at the Radio Backyard Fence. This is Chris Fabry Live. And I hope what you hear is two friends who are just doing life together, because that's what I wanted this hour to be. I don't have a whole big agenda here for Ray. I wanted him to be able to hear from you if you want to talk with him. So we'll open up the phone lines, 877-548-3675. Got a number of questions here and thoughts. I got a quote I want to read you, Philip Keller. Here's the next question. What revelation about yourself have you had in this time?
The answer to that question comes from our oldest son, Josh, we live here in the Kansas City area now, and our oldest son lives about a mile away from us with three of our grandkids, by the way. And when all this happened, I also slipped on the ice when we had this ice storm in January and banged up my left shoulder, and so could hardly move. And then we're starting cancer treatment, and Josh just said, Dad, God is slowing you and Mom down for some reason. I don't know what it is, but He's slowing you down. And, you know, you have those moments, Chris, where the light comes on above your head and you realize God is speaking through what somebody said. And I thought about this a lot, a revelation about myself. Chris, I've been in a hurry all my life. I have been in a hurry. I have things to do and places to go and people to see and messages to give and books to write. I have been in a great big hurry. And in fact, I remember this is probably 35 years ago. I was going to speak at a youth retreat in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And the pastor, assistant pastor at the church, who was a dear friend of mine, he sent the youth pastor to pick me up. But he didn't have a picture of me because this is pre-internet days. And the youth pastor said, "Well, how do I know who Ray Pritchard is?" He said, "He's tall. He wears glasses. He's got a suit on. And he looks like he's in a big hurry." Mm-hmm. And the youth pastor said, "I didn't have any trouble finding you at all." And this is the revelation that God spoke to my heart. And I'm still thinking about this, thinking about it. I've been in such a hurry through life. Now 71 years old, and all of a sudden the Lord says, "Slow down, son." I mean, I had to cancel a trip to Hungary and Chattanooga and a trip to Korea next month. And when you get cancer, not only do you realize what it could mean in the end, you just realize life is pretty short. It's pretty fragile. It's precious. And the world can go on without you. God was doing great before I showed up. He's going to do just fine after I'm gone, Chris. And, you know, this is what, it's interesting, even in answering this question, I find myself circling around to get to what I really want to say to you. I think the real revelation about my own heart is, I think every major mistake I've ever made in my life has come because of impatience. I would not have said that 6 months ago, but I think almost every dumb thing I've done, every foolish mistake, every dumb rushing into things, trying to make a scene or something, and oh, the list is long. I think the besetting sin of my life is impatience. And the Lord has finally said, you know, I think our problem in the Christian world is we excuse or we explain away impatience when we ought to confess it. So I'm happy to say the Lord has shown me that. And it's a revelation about my life. And I'm not unhappy about it, because when the Lord shows you something, you ought to be glad. It's like Rosary Butterfield said, repentance ought not to be hard. All it means is repentance just means God was right all along. And
you agree with him.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Lord, you're right. So I'll just end the answer here. I've been meditating a lot lately on Psalm 27. I love what he says. David says, Psalm 27, "Wait on the Lord." And again, it's that again. It's like, you didn't get it the first time, son. So let me say it. Wait on the Lord. And again, wait on him. God's giving me time to do that during this cancer treatment. And I want to say, I thank him for the revelation. And I am happy to say what God has taught me. And I bless his name for putting this upon me, because I have grown in areas that I didn't know I needed to grow in. So that's my answer.
And that's a really good one. If you are to till then the soil of impatience, if it were a field and you were to dig down, you would find at the bottom of, wouldn't you find a lack of trust fueling the impatience that's on the surface of your life? You say, I trust God, I trust him for everything. Mm-hmm. But the impatience just says, yeah, but not here, not today, not, you know, not with this speed, right?
Well, you know, we live in a what have you done for me lately kind of world. We live in a results-oriented world. You get paid to produce, you get paid to show what you can do. And in a sense, the world, I mean, the whole world around us, it rewards pushing your way to the top and looking out for number one and all of that. And what a revelation it is to be able to say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. Or maybe I thought about this, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You could say it this way. The house gets built either way, but if God doesn't build it, it will not stand. So I am so glad that the Lord has shown me that I need to learn patience and to trust in him in a new way.
And I'm glad that you shared that, because we talked about this yesterday, part of the desire of each of us as followers of Jesus is to be truly who he made us to be. And in the book that we quoted yesterday with Kelly Capick, many of us fail to understand that our limitations are a gift from God and therefore good. This produces in us the burden of trying to be something we are not and cannot be. So God is, through this, producing in you something that he wants you to be yourself. He wants you to be Ray and nobody else, right?
Well, you know what they say, be yourself. Everybody else is already taken. So I love that quote because it's so true, because we spend our days looking at heroes around us and we think, I want to be like him or want to be like her. No, no, no. He's already taken. She's already taken. You might as well be who God made you to be. And I want to say, I thank God for the cancer. I'm not happy about all aspects of it. Don't know where it's all going to lead, but I thank God because it has shown me some things about myself that at long last I'm taking a look at and beginning to grow in.
That's Dr. Ray Pritchard, and I want to make him available to you today, or I want to make you available to him, like Renee in Illinois. Renee, why did you call Ray today?
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to say a couple things. First of all, Ray, I just popped in my car for a moment and turned on Chris at the beginning of this segment, just kind of by accident. and I just wanted to tell you that I am stage 4 pancreatic cancer patient through a crazy set of circumstances. As I was being tested to undergo a procedure, they discovered that the tumors that had metastasized to my liver had disappeared. All of a sudden had just disappeared.
Wow.
So now I am in what they call NED, no evidence of disease, full remission, which does not happen, as you can surmise, in stage 4 people. And so I thought that I would start a pancreatic cancer, not cancer, I'm sorry, a pancreatic wellness group, because everything says cancer and, you know, it's wellness. We're striving for wellness. We're not striving for cancer. So I started that. I just held my third meeting in the Western suburbs. And there's nothing like it, because I called the PanCan group and they said there's a couple Zoom meetings up in the northern suburbs, but there's nothing eyeball to eyeball, sitting face to face. There's general cancer, but there's not specific pancreatic cancer, because as the woman so nicely told me, people don't quite live long enough to start groups. Hmm. Anyhow, we've been looking for kind of a direction to go, something that we can jointly do together. I heard about your book. It sounds encouraging, and I just got on Amazon, and I'm going to order maybe a dozen or so of them and give them out at my meeting. And I think it is perfect timing for what we need. We need hope in this dismal disease, and there are stories like me that are full of hope and full of encouragement, and we just want to pass it along to other people. And I wanted to tell you, Ray, you know, going through all that chemo, of course, fatigue was a major side effect, and I just right-sided my thinking, and I thought, guess what? I get to take naps. I don't have to take naps, but I get to. So
you flipped
like
it around.
That. I do like too.
Here's an opportunity for me to take a nap and not to feel guilty about it. Respond to Renee.
Renee, first of all, thank you for calling. And second, I want to just praise the Lord for somebody who's stage 4 pancreatic cancer to be in that no evidence of a disease. There's another word for that. That's called a miracle. And I thank God for that. And I think you are on exactly the right track. First of all, I hope you enjoy the books. And I think you're going to find your group hugely blessed, because we live in hard times. This is a tough world. And we need to do all we can to give people hope. So God bless you, Renee. And thank you. Thank you so much for calling and for what you're doing to help others.
I'm glad you got in the car. Just that, you know, that circumstances beyond your control, you flipped on the radio. God bless you, friend. James is in Ohio. James, you're on with Ray Pritchard. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm just calling Ray to encourage you to keep the faith. At the old age of 48, I was too diagnosed with prostate cancer, stage 3 and 4. And I tell you, I had a great doctor, a great Jewish doctor, and they took care of me. And I'm now 63, about to be 64 in June. And I want to tell you, keep the faith, because God is good. You know, I'm now blind, and he's carrying me through this time as well. And I just want to let you know that you will beat this, and let you know that we're all praying for you and we love you.
James, thank you so much. And listen, I love hearing stories about people who've come through by the grace and power of God. And, you know, I think about this often here in the University of Kansas, where I'm at their big hospital, you know, and, oh, man, they've got the machines and they've got unbelievable medical personnel, just like in big cities everywhere. But in the end, we all believe in Jehovah Rapha, don't we? The Lord who heals. And he can heal in answer to prayer. He can heal through chemotherapy, radiation, or he can just do it directly. So, James, God bless you. And to call and encourage me like that, you can't see me, brother, but you've put a smile on my face. So God bless you.
And he's not in a hurry anymore either, James. Thank you. Okay, so I told you I was going to read this quote. This is the best time to do it. This is from chapter 4 of A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. He leads me beside quiet waters. This goes straight through the psalm, and he talks about what the shepherd does to give his flock pure water, because there's a lot of, you know, muddy bogs and things that have parasites and everything. We want the sheep to have clean water. Here's what he writes. I recall so clearly standing under the blazing equatorial sun of Africa and watching the native herds being led to their owners' water wells. Some of these were enormous hand-hewn caverns cut from the sandstone formation along the sandy rivers. They were like great rooms chiseled out of rocks with ramps running down to the water trough at the bottom. The herds and flocks were led down into these deep cisterns where cool, clear, clean water awaited them. But down in the well was the owner bailing water to satisfy the flock. It was hard, heavy, hot work. Perspiration poured off the body of the bailer, whose skin glistened under the strain and heat of his labor. As I stood there watching the animals quench their thirst at the still waters, I was again immensely impressed by the fact that everything hinged and depended upon the diligence of the owner, the shepherd. Only through his energy, his efforts, his sweat, his strength, could the sheep be satisfied. In the Christian life, exactly the same applies. Many of the places we may be led into will appear to us as dark, deep, dangerous, and somewhat disagreeable. But it simply must be remembered that he is there with us. He is very much at work in the situation. It is his energy, effort, and strength expended on my behalf that even in this deep, dark place is bound to produce a benefit for me. What do you think about that, Ray?
Oh, wow. While you were reading that, I was just meditating on the word he. How personal it is. He leads me beside still waters. It's not that I have to find my own way. Thank God I don't have to find the still waters. I never would, Chris. I'd die of thirst out in the desert. But he, the God who loves me, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, he, the great shepherd, he leads me. And you know what about this cancer stuff? He is leading me as much in the middle of this as he ever did any other time in any other place. It's not as if the Lord woke up and said, oh man, Ray, I didn't know you had cancer. No, he leads me through this to the still waters, sweet and fresh and clear. And you know what? I think for me at least, I couldn't get to the still waters any other way. So I thank God. I thank God he is the good shepherd who leads us even sometimes, Chris, he leads us even when we don't know we're being led. That's a great comfort to my soul.
Yes. Well, even like a phone call, it comes when you didn't even know what the program was going, you know?
That's right.
And the import here is that only he can satisfy, Keller says, is he who makes sense and purpose and meaning come out of situations that otherwise would be but a mockery to me. Suddenly life starts to have significance. I discover I am the object of his special care and attention. Dignity and direction come into the events of my life, and I see them sorting themselves out into a definite pattern of usefulness. All of this is refreshing, stimulating, invigorating. My thirst for reality in life is assuaged, and I discover I have found that satisfaction in my master. Again, that's from A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Dr. Ray Pritchard is with us. More of your calls straight ahead on Moody Radio. We're hearing about the goodness of God along the cancer journey that Ray Pritchard is taking, and I think Ray would say the only way to go through this valley is with the shepherd who will never leave you or forsake you. And I want to mention the ministry of CareNet. I do it about this time each day. I want to mention them because they walk through some really dark valleys with women who discover an unplanned pregnancy, and many times they are being pressured to have an abortion that they don't want to have, but they don't see any other way out. And that's where you and I come in. CareNet began the Church Engagement Initiative and a program called Making Life Disciples. And the big question is, what do you do with the passion that you have for your pro-life beliefs, the dignity of the unborn? What do you do with that? Is that something that you just believe and you say, or is there anything that you... any action that you take with that? And their question, CareNet's question is, what if your church was a lighthouse of life to your community? You can't do everything for everybody. But if you click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org, there's a redemptive step that you can take, or people in your small group or in your church, to show compassion, hope, and help to those who are considering abortion. The real answer there, CareNet says, is discipleship. It's becoming a follower of Jesus. Click the green CareNet button at chrisfabrylive.org. You'll see more about that, chrisfabrylive.org. And Ray, I know that that sparks something in your heart because I know how you feel about that issue.
You know, I thank God for a ministry like CareNet out there. If you talk about a frontline ministry, nothing... In today's mixed up, upside down kind of world, they're out there helping women, these unplanned pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies, pressure to get abortion. God bless them, and God bless all those in the pro-life movement working to defend the rights of the unborn and to lead people to Jesus Christ. So God bless them for their work.
Click that green CareNet button right there, chrisfabrylive.org. And if you click today's information program or just send it to somebody else, maybe there's somebody who's walking this journey and they weren't able to hear this today. They can hear the podcast. Just send them to the website and send them the link there, chrisfabrylive.org. But maybe you have something, some encouragement for Ray from your own experience, something you want to tell him. 877-548-3675. Gary is on the line. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Doing great. Glad you called. What do you want to tell Ray?
Well, I just wanted to tell Ray, I've been going through a lot the last 3 months myself, Ray, and I just wanted to give you some encouragement. I just wanted to tell you how I go through things when things are happening bad, and I look at it as Jesus has carried a cross for me, went through all that suffering, and times when I'm going through things like this, I look at it as me carrying the cross and showing him that through the roughest time, I'll still keep him number one. I'll still praise him, show him love, share people of how good he is and what he means to me. And that's pretty much how I go through a lot. I carry that proud, strong, and just know that no matter what, he's always with me.
Wow, Gary. I love what you said. It reminds me of, and I saw this somewhere the other day, 10 words of praise spoken when times are tough are worth more than 10,000 words spoken when times are going well. The real test of our Christianity, I suppose, is when the darkness closes in, and it comes to us all. We all go through the valley of the shadow in one way or another, and frankly, most of us go through that valley in different ways more than once, to be able to say, it's dark around me, but I see the light up above, and I am walking with my Heavenly Father, and I'm not giving up. So, Gary, thank you for sharing that. And as they say, I receive that. I receive it because that is true. God bless you.
Do you avoid the why God question?
I don't so much avoid it as I regard it as an unanswerable question. I don't know what to say. If you said to me, why did I get cancer and somebody else didn't? In the really hard issues of life, I've been a Christian now for 54 years, and about the really, really, really hard stuff that has happened either to me or people I love, I understand it's okay to ask God why, but you can't demand an answer. I read the book of Job. My wife and I, Marlene, are reading it just recently, and you get to the end and you realize, that stuff with God and Satan in the beginning, as far as you can tell from the book of Job, Job himself has never given the full explanation. It's that he finally comes to discover that there is a God who knows him and who is sovereign, and he bows before him in wonder and worship and praise. And I don't know, would I be any better off if I knew the reason why? And I think to myself, either I couldn't really understand it, which I think is really the right answer, or even if I did, I don't know that I'm any better off. So I am happy enough to join Job in saying, Job said one place, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Mm-hmm. Look, we're all going to die. And you know, I want to put this out here for our friends to think about, because when you get cancer, we haven't talked about the D word, but when you get cancer, we all understand a lot of people die of cancer, and prostate cancer comes to a lot of guys, and people don't realize it's the second leading cause of cancer death among men. Lung cancer is number one, prostate cancer is number two. And I know the outlook for me, the doctor feels good and prognosis is good, but you're a fool if you get cancer and you don't at least think about it. And so I say to myself, are you ready to meet the Lord? And all I know is, it is not because I am holding on to Jesus. It's because he is holding on to me. I have pushed all the eggs into one basket. I am trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone, not just to save me in the sense of saving me from all my sins, but to make me into his image and to one day take me home to heaven. And so I can sleep well at night. I've always known I was going to die. I was never not going to die, except for the rapture generation. Nobody gets off planet Earth alive. And so I've been saying in sermons for years, we're all going to do some box time eventually. And people laugh when I say that, but it's true. So I have to ask myself, what are you trusting in? Thank God for the doctors and the nurses and this radiation machine I'm inside every morning, be there again tomorrow morning. I thank God for all that. But in the end, my trust, my only hope is in the Lord alone. And I thank God every day for the privilege of being able to say, Lord, I trust you. And if you take me home today, fine. Tomorrow, fine. And if in 20 years, that's fine. However long, what did Paul say? To die is gain, right? Yet he said, it's better for me to remain here. So I'm okay either way, because my life has been put in the hands of the Lord Jesus a long time ago. I'm still trusting him today.
Talk to that person who heard you say, who hears your surety, you know, the rock-ribbed belief that I know I'm going to be in heaven. And that person is saying, you can't know that. That sounds like prideful or hubris that you know that you're going to heaven. Explain why you know.
In just a couple of sentences, if it depends on me, Chris, I am sunk. I mean, I am sunk. For there is no difference, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Whole human race is in the same boat. There's no difference. We're all sinners. The boat's going down, and if God doesn't do something, the whole human race is going to be destroyed. But 2,000 years ago, God, in the greatest act of mercy in the history of the world, sent his only son, his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived, who died on the cross for my sins, who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And he said, if you will trust in me, I will take your sins away. And I will one day take you home to heaven to be with me. I want to say, I'm going all in on Jesus. I do not have a plan B. I like what Lewis Berry Chafer said. Believing in Jesus means trusting him so much that if he can't take me to heaven, I'm not going to go there. Listen, it's not because of being a Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Catholic. Church affiliation doesn't have anything to do with it. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him and knowing that his death on the cross is sufficient now and forever to take care of all my sins. I am a very great sinner. And we don't have time to get into all that. But but Chris, that's been revealed. I've already said I've learned some things about myself on the downside that I wouldn't have known 6 months ago. They're all covered. They're all forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if I show up in heaven, and I intend to, it'll be not my own merit, but the grace of God in Jesus Christ, who sent his son, who died for me. I'm trusting in Christ and him alone.
And you can have that same trust today. We don't know what you're going through, driving down the road today or wherever you are and listening to this. You could be listening to the podcast, Ray, I think, you know, with technology. Somebody could be listening to this 100 years from now when you and I are both
right, long gone.
Yeah. Right. But you can, and I don't even know if 100 years from now if you can call this number, but if you text the word gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, text the word gospel to 800-600-9624, as long as that number is operational, we'll send you a link. You'll see some of the scriptures that Ray just referred to that show that it's not about you being good enough to get into heaven, because you can be. It's about you having the righteousness of Jesus on your life. So text the word gospel to 800-600-9624. You'll also see a video there of the president of Moody, Dr. Mark Jobe, who will lead you in a way to explain exactly what that is. Text GOSPEL to 800-600-9624 or go to chrisfabrylive.org. Keep Believing is our featured resource today, right there. Can I just say, I'm thankful for the space to be able to slow down a little bit. Like Ray was saying a little earlier, that impatience and hurry has been something that God has been pointing out to him. Just the ability to slow down, to have a conversation, to walk down the trail with somebody who's going through this and who's helping us. He's helping us more than we're helping him, you know? Ray Pritchard is with us. I mentioned the book, Keep Believing, Finding God in Your Deepest Struggles. He wrote that before a lot of the struggles that he's had, and they're still true. Deborah is in Indiana. Deborah, what do you want to say to Ray?
Hello, can you hear me, Ray?
Hi, Deborah.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I am in my car. And I didn't know if you could hear me or not, but I was so inspired listening to you. And my father and my mother had cancer. And I think hearing about your life of service and paralleling it to my mother's life, cancer, it was a journey that she thought that she was walking on. But in the journey, she never lost faith. She always knew one day at a time, God would get her through. And recently, Jim Hudson. He was a radio announcer. He was a gospel singer. Too had cancer, and his journey gave a show of his faith, both of prayer. And it's easy to be a good Christian and happy Christian when things are going great. But what is it whenever the trials come upon us? Perhaps that is when our faith is tried, and that's when we really have to put our faith in God and trust. And then perhaps after my mom did pass, which we all will have our day that God will call us home, I heard on the radio a preacher say, and I was in my 50s, I wasn't young, I'd been a Christian in church all my life, but when you grieve the passing of someone you love so dearly, that too is when you sure need a lot of help from God, and you sure need a lot of faith. But a preacher said, and it just resonated with my grief, we pray for healing. We all want healing of our loved ones. And the preacher said, God did heal them. He chose to heal them on the other side. And I thought, when we have the hope of heaven, that is one of the promises that we look forward to. And even Jesus, after his crucifixion, before he left, he ascended, he gave us the Great Commission. And with that, we are all supposed to preach and teach, bringing and baptizing people into the Lord, bringing them the Word. And our town of Medora, Indiana, is going to be doing its 15th year of a town that recognizes all of those who suffer with cancer and the families. And we've seen many miracles. And we have an outreach program called Hope Medora Goes Pink. And I was at church one day, and it's tough when you lose a loved one. And God spoke to me and said, do something. So that's what, while we have life, we need to take every precious moment and do what we can for him and serve, because each one of us has a talent of some sort. And for me, we do Medora Goes Pink, and it is an outreach. And the other lady I heard spoke to people.
Well, let me jump in here, Deborah. We're running out of time, but you bring up a really good point about all of the different people that are touched by one person, you know, having a struggle with cancer or whatever it is. And the grief that you go through. Ray, I know that you appreciate Deborah's call, and it makes me think of Marlene and all that she is going through as you two are going through this together.
You know, Chris, this coming, and by the way, Deborah, thank you so much for calling and for the good work, the really good work you're doing of ministering to others. This August, Marlene and I are going to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary, and I just mention that because, well, first of all, you think about it, but this is not this cancer stuff. This isn't what she signed up for on that hot summer evening back in 1974 when we got married. But she's been by my side all the way through this whole 50 years. And I got to tell you, Chris, in December, when it finally became clear that I was going to have to face some treatment for my cancer, honestly, I had some difficult nights. Worried about things that you worry about, what might happen, what could happen. What if you don't make it? You know, you just don't know. And one day, Marlene said something to me. She said, honey, this is just the next step in God's plan for us. That simple sentence lifted me. It's just the next step, nothing to worry about. It's just the next step in God's plan for us. And a few days later, she said, you know what I think? She said, I think we ought to start praying each day for faith and gratitude and no grumbling. And that last part's really important, Chris, because I'm gifted in the grumbling area. If there's any complaining to be done, you know, I'm in charge of that for the family. And we've been praying that all the way along. And God has helped every moment along the way. Then that, real quickly, the story about Jim Harbaugh, coach of University of Michigan, now out there in San Diego, or Los Angeles, the Chargers. And when he said to the Michigan fans, who's got it better than we do? Nobody. And ever since I heard that, almost every day, Marlene and I look at each other, and she'll say to me, or I'll say to her, who's got it better than we do? Yeah. Nobody, no one. And if you know the Lord, who really does have it better than we do? So we ought to rejoice and thank God in the midst of our trials, because nobody's got it better than we do, because we know the Lord.
And that Harbaugh story started when, you know, his dad, it was really hard time for the family. They didn't have a whole lot, but you look at what you do have. When you look at what you do have, and if you have him, if you have God in your life, and you have forgiveness, and you have the hope of heaven, what else could you need? And that doesn't mean it doesn't get hard. I think somebody need to hear that, and they're going to write it down. This is just the next step in God's plan for us. Whatever the thing is in the windshield of your life that you're looking at right now. Hope that was encouraging. Ray, you come back and see us real soon, my friend. Thanks for sharing your heart with us.
Thank you, Chris. Great to be with you.
But don't you come back in a hurry, okay? You just take your time. Slow down.
Slow down. Take a nap.
Thank you for being real with us, and thanks for listening. Chris Fabry Live is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.